Well, I want to say welcome to all of you all who are listening to this podcast. We are here on the 6th of December, and we're diving right into finishing up John 15. What a joy we've had rocking along with this one, especially talking about the vine and the branches, and what a joy to come to understand who Jesus is and how we need to be attached to him to draw all of what we need to produce fruit. And of course, we have discussed that. If you want to get into that, listen to the previous podcast. But we got to move on. So we're now into John 15, and we're going to pick up here at verse 16. And here Jesus is talking to his disciples, but he is also talking to us. And one of the things that we've always discussed in this Bible study is when he's talking to his disciples, we are his disciples right now. And so if the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if it changes not, then this same word should apply to us. Now, true that some of the circumstances are a little bit different in who he was talking to then. But again, it applies to us as we have similar responsibilities as being disciples. So let's dive on into 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. Then 17 gets on a little more serious here. It says, these things I command you, that you love one another. Now, let's go back and deal with 16. When we were talking about in 15, he says, I call you not servant, but I call you friend. He's getting a little bit deeper into that because back in the day, servants came and they applied to work there, or they owed money or wanted money, and they wanted to work it off through servanthood. Okay, so here God is saying, you're not really just a hired hand or being with me because I've given you something and you got to pay it back. He's saying, I called you a friend. You a servant doesn't know what his master does. He just does what his master tell him to do. So here God is saying, I don't want you to think about it in this level when you're looking at God the Father. So he's giving them an example. So now he breaks it down and says, see, what you don't understand is you didn't choose me, but I've chosen you. See, God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. If we don't hear the call from God to come out, we're not coming out. We're not coming out. We're servants of sin before we get saved, and we like what we're doing. And we just go ahead. It's God that taps us on the shoulder. Or we hear that voice that calls us out, or we're under a circumstance or a situation where we got nowhere else to turn and what happened. You know, we when we come into this world, we're not running toward God. We're running away from God. So this is clarification that if indeed you have come to understand that there is a supreme being, that there is a God, and that he loves you and he wants to help you, and you're going to need to surrender to get it, then you've been chosen. Because many are called, but what? Few are chosen. So let's get on into it. Now, why has he chosen you? He's chosen you because he knows what's in you, but you don't know what's in you. We don't know what's in us. We don't know until God shines his light of revelation upon us. And it's his spirit that does that. God's spirit is the one that illuminates us. That's what lights us up and let us see it. And I love it here because not only has he chosen you, there's a word and in there. That's a connection. That means what goes forward goes with it behind it. It's like a coupler that keeps it together. It says, not only have I chosen you and ordained you. Now, ordaining means that you've been set apart. Now, he didn't just choose you, but he set you apart for a specific purpose. And this is where I think a lot of the saints of God have missed it. They don't really come to understand, what have I been set apart for? You've been set apart for something. When God calls you out from something, he calls you to do something. All of us have a job in the kingdom, and it's up to us to desire from God what is it that he has ordained us to do. Some have auditory gifts. Some have service gifts. Some are good deacons. Some are good ushers. I mean, God has given them and ordained them to have a smile that makes everybody that come into the church comfortable. Then you have some that have discerning of spirits. Boy, they sit in the seat and can discern what's going on with a particular person. When they're having a conversation with them, God can reveal it to them, and they can bring words of edification, exhortation, and comfort as part of mine. And then you have the preachers. All right. Then you have just regular ministers who are to me just a little bit above a deacon, really. So everybody has a job to do, and God has ordained you to do it if indeed he has chosen you. And you know, if you've answered the call, that you've been chosen. So God ordains you. And why has he ordained you? That you should go forth and bring forth fruit. And we did discuss that about the fruit, right? We talked about that fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. When God comes in, and let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man or woman be in Christ, they'll become a new creation. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. And what's the new? The new is that we can start to show what's really the life of Christ that's in us, which the fruit of the Spirit is a definite demonstration of it. Right? Long suffering, y'all know the gifts, all of those things that Jesus has displayed in his life, we should be displaying it in ours, right? And we should bring forth the fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Look, not just be a flash, not that you're saved and you're doing good for about 5 days, 5 years, and then you backslide and then go back into the world. No, that you should remain steadfast, holding on to God's unchanging hand. And for you young people, that was an old saying about your anchor's got to hold. You have to have your anchor hooked on the rock. And we would pray that their anchor would hold. And all that meant was that they would stay connected to God so that what he has will continue to be on display through us. Right? And look, if all of that happens, then whatsoever you shall ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. I love this. Now, isn't there a prerequisite before that so that when you ask in his name that he'll give it? There's some prerequisite in there.
Right.
Right. That you should go forth, bring forth fruit, and then you can ask. Right?
Right.
If you're not connected, then to me, that's why you ask amiss. If you're connected to God and his Spirit is meant, God will give you what to ask for, and what you ask for will be in line with his will. Because it says, some ask and don't get what you want because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust. So God is not obligated just because you ask in Jesus' name to give you something. He's a righteous judge. He's all knowing. He know what you should have and what you don't need. But if you're lined up in his will and you ask for something, you're asking what you need so that you can what? Bring forth this much fruit we're talking about. Amen?
It's not about us. It's about others.
Ah, we have a comment right from the gallery here that says it's not really about us if we're asking it to consume it upon our own lust. But if we are asking it for others, which is a part of that demonstrating the fruit,
right?
Because the fruit is not for us. The fruit is for who? The fruit is for other people.
Right.
Right. If we're showing long suffering, the people that we're showing the long suffering to is the ones that need it.
And then God is going to supply all of our needs to do what we need to go out there anyway, to bear that fruit.
And that comes out of what? Matthew 6.
Right.
All right. Because God's already going to give us what we need. But what we're asking for is for the needs of others.
Right.
Very interesting. All right. So let us move forward. As we go on in here, we got another command coming up.
Okay.
Here it is in verse 17. He says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Now, how do you tie that in to 16? Well, you do, because if you've been chosen and ordained and you bringing forth this fruit, you got to show love, because that's going to be the demonstration of the fruit. Right?
Right.
If you don't love one another, how you going to show long suffering? How you going to show meekness? How you going to have temperance? If you don't have this love one for another, then it's going, if you're not loving one another, then who else are you loving?
Me.
So he, again, this is what it's all about, that you love one another. Now, after.
Oh, I was going to say that love is what God equips us with to go out and bear fruit, because we're going to need that, because where we're going to, we can't do it in and of ourselves anyway. But the love that God equips us with is going to help us have that long-suffering. It's going to help us have that peace while we're ministering to those who don't have it.
All right, let's go to 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Mm-hmm. Now, we got all this love in here. And we talking about we've been ordained, we've been chosen. You got all of this coming up. And now he's talking about the world hating folk.
He's preparing us before we
preparation come. Time. He's been telling them all of this, because as we've come up to this point, what has he been saying? I'm going to have to leave. I got to go. Let not your heart be troubled. He said that two times in one verse, right?
Uh-huh.
So now here he is. Here he is ministering to them, and he's saying, listen, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. I love this, because he's telling them, when I leave, there's some serious hateration getting ready to come.
Hateration.
It's coming. Now, I want to go through 18 and 19, because I want to relate that to how we have to understand that this applies to us today. All right. So let's go to 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. All right. So now let me tie in 18 and 19 and see if we can get an understanding of this. All right. We who have been called of God out of darkness into his marvelous light, the world does not like us, and it does not like us for several reasons. One, because we convict them of their sin and of their error. What the world likes and what we like, what the world loves and what we love, is opposite. The world says all for me. God says all for others. It's a completely totally opposite. Selfish, selfless. And the people that see people being selfless say, why you don't look out for yourself? Why you not concerned about the things that are about your own business? But we who know who God is and that God supplies all of our needs and take care of us, and we don't have to worry about what's going to be for us, because God takes care of us. The world doesn't understand God takes care of you. All right. So here in 19, it says, if you were of the world would love its own. All of those that are out there doing any and everything they want to do to help themselves, to do it, the world loves that. The world, as we know it today, voted, and I'm going to be political for a minute, voted for a man that loves himself. And it was a true fact. He loves himself and he loves his family. And he loves to make plenty of money, and he loves to be seen. He puts his name everywhere because he wants everybody to see him. I'm not saying anything that's not true. This is just who this particular person is. But the world loves that. The world says, I want to be a part of that. I want to have my name on things. I want to have money. I want to have this and that. But if you are not a part of the world and God has chosen you out of the world, you are not necessarily loved like that. How many people that give away everything they have, that they have to try to help others, are lifted up in the world? Now, the only thing that I know that people from, and it's not really, well, let me just say it. All right, when you get a Nobel Peace Prize, that's the biggest prize that I know that you give for being selfless. If you have done something to help the world or have made some sort of statement, that's the only prize that I know that's given is a Nobel Peace Prize. But other than that, can anybody else tell me if you are so selfless, does the world really recognize that? If you think. So all I'm saying to you is this. When you who exemplify the fruit of the Spirit and you have the God kind of, you're living the God kind of life, you will not be loved by the world. So I'm saying that to say to us as being Christians today, we should not expect for everybody to love us if we are exemplifying and a part of the vine and yielding the fruit of the Spirit for everybody to like us. We should expect that when conflict comes from what we do, where it's coming from and why it's coming. This should not come out of any Christian's mouth. Why they don't like me? Why they treating me like this? Why is this going on in my life? Right? Now, I want us to understand, once you get saved, it doesn't necessarily mean that now everybody's going to love us and we're going to live on a flowery bed of ease. And when we accept the call of God on our life and we go out and want to help everybody, that everybody's going to want to help us help everybody. Let's take off the rose-colored glasses and let's just understand that the world hates us because they don't want a God. They feel that they are God. They feel that what you have and what you possess make you a God. Y'all looking at me. I just want us to understand the realities of life. When we take on the characteristics of our master and we're disciplined and we're disciples, then we should look different and we are going to intimidate people.
I used to have problems with that at work. I'd come, especially when I first came to Atlanta, I would come to work and I didn't tell those people I was a Christian. I was like, you know, they don't know anything about me, but they would huddle up in their groups at work. They wouldn't include me. And I was like, well, they don't know anything about me. And then they say, well, she's a Christian. And I said, I didn't tell them that. You know, and they wouldn't include me in what they were doing. Actually, they were gossiping and talking about people, and so they wouldn't include me, you know, and keeping up a lot of, you know, just disturbance and stuff and initiating stuff. So I would, there was only one person that I would work with for that month that I could really talk to. The rest, oh, they said, oh, here she come, we're not going to tell her. And I, you know, and I was like, thank God they didn't. You know, I didn't need to be in whatever they were doing anyway. So I went through some of that, you know, and I was like, well, what is wrong? You know, and then I thought about it. I said, well, they could see God's Spirit on me. I didn't have to tell them. They saw I wasn't like them. So it does make people angry or mad, you know, and being exclusive as opposed to including you.
All right, verse 20 says, remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And I love this. It's not my favorite two-letter word. If They have kept my saying, and they will keep yours also. I know y'all want to talk about that, because that's something right there. Comments. Y'all want me to start it off?
Yeah.
All right. It says, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why? Because your demonstration of the love of the Father is going to cause them to persecute you. If you in your life demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit on a regular basis, the only people that are going to accept that are those of Christians. Everybody else is not going to be appreciative of that. The other thing that happens is you bring condemnation in when you come in and they don't have it and they see that you do. All right. So you bringing in the light into darkness, and what? When it says when the light came in, the darkness comprehended it not.
Right.
It said, no, what we like, what we doing. Now here you come with this, and now you want me to stop doing. I like what I'm doing. I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing, even though you don't tell them to stop at all. You just living totally different than they living. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not telling them to stop doing anything. When you gave the illustration, you didn't tell them to stop gossiping when you came in. You didn't tell them to stop stirring up stuff. You just wasn't involved with it. And because you were not involved with what the world, that little world circle was doing, then they ostracized you. They said, well, we see something different about you. You're not like us. And so this is what we see right here. They're going to persecute you because they persecuted me. And if they have kept my sayings, they will also keep yours also. What does that mean? This is the part I want y'all to get. That if you speak what God has spoken to you, then this is what turns around people's lives. We have two things that are our weapon. The blood of the Lamb and the word of what? Of our testimony. We overcome by those. That's the strength that we have. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What is our testimony? Our testimony is that God has come into our life and changed us. And we were like this, but now we're like this, and we love the way that we are now. Shouldn't that be a good testimony? Right? People see you and say, you look different. Is that not a testimony? Right? Was that not a testimony for her? When she didn't even have to tell them anything about herself, the fact that she wasn't going to sit in on the gospel one, or I can give you a better one for myself. When I came into my job, they would tell certain jokes, and I'd just look at them while they would tell them. And all of a sudden, they just stopped telling jokes. I mean, I didn't have to tell them to stop telling jokes. I just look at them, and they like, all right, Alfred not into them jokes, man. We just, you know. So they stopped telling jokes. They and a whole lot of stuff just stopped when I would come in. And then I would ask them questions. I said, well, is that really relevant to helping somebody in here? And they could never answer the question. So, I mean, some of that helped as well. But that's what we're supposed to do, because now when we bring the light in, somebody might want to know the explanation of the light. Why are you like that? Why you can't get into what we're talking about? And then that's when you get to explain to them the conversion process. Well, I used to like all that stuff too, but God had given me something else to like. Right?
Right.
He's given us something else to like. I don't have to like that. It doesn't uplift anybody. It doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
My God says that I should love everybody, not put them down or say snide things about them or dog them out or talk about, you know, their religion or ethnicity or whatever those kind of things are. That's the demonstration of when the light comes in. Somebody might want an explanation of the light. And I got another one for you. We're the salt, right?
Right.
So God sprinkles us in areas where it needs flavor. Right? He right. brings the light in where there is some darkness. And we are the light bearers, are we not?
Right.
Are we not vessels? Right? And if we've been chosen, and it says ordained up here, which means we've been set apart, then we're equipped to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he puts his treasure in what? Earthen vessels.
That's right.
That's us, y'all.
Yeah.
So we earthen vessels with the treasure, and he puts us in his place. And so what he wants us to understand in these few verses above is that we're going to get some persecution because some people want to put the light out.
That's true.
Huh?
Amen. That's true.
Why y'all looking at me like that? That's why some people don't want y'all around.
That's true. Because that same story I was telling, when I first came to Atlanta, I had a hard time. I mean, the same little group, I would fly with them every month. And by the end of the month, when you say persecute, this girl was literally screaming down the, you know, we were walking through the airport. She's screaming at me and all the people, you know, looking around to see what she was doing. And she's calling out my name. And the girl that I was with, she said, don't even look back. Don't look back. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. We're not going to even turn. And we're working the same flight. And, you know, and I had to work through all this animosity. But it takes the love of God to do that. It doesn't take your love. And then also, after all these years this girl has had, she's suffered with cancer and a lot of things went wrong with her. And now it's like she's just as humble. She's since retired, but even before that, she comes to me a different way. She didn't come to me like that. And, you know, God just worked with her. So we don't know the time, and that's what we were talking about. You know, when people come into your life and they're like that and you're showing the love of God, you don't know when God would touch their lives, even though they're not touched now. And it's been years. That was like in the early 90s. Well, it was really in the mid-90s when I came back. Now it's 2016. See, that's like 26 years. Mm-hmm. And now she's a different person. She knows God.
Wow. All right. God knows how to bring them back around, but they still have to see the light that's in your life.
That's right.
They got to see the light that's in you, because it's not by accident that all of that happened.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
And see, that's what another thing that we have to understand. A lot of times we run into people, and a lot of times we get persecuted, and it's not by accident, but God going to get the glory out of it. Right?
We have to be careful of our attitude as we are experiencing the persecution.
Absolutely.
Right. That's right.
Absolutely.
Be careful,
huh? Yeah.
You
want, but
to
see,
the dark side.
well, that's why Jesus gave a command.
Amen.
If it was automatic, he would not have given a command.
Amen. I'm telling you.
Yeah, we got to remember that we are commanded to love one another.
And it is by his love,
yes.
His grace, and his mercy.
Amen. But you know, I was in an awkward situation, and I guess I put myself there. I said, when I was working and be around some of the, a lot of salespeople, men or what have you, and then women, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they would slip and say something that they shouldn't have said, they would say, excuse me, and, but there were other women there. So I felt awkward because they weren't, you know, saying
right.
For them, they would call singling
mm-hmm.
my name out, yeah, because they knew I was a Christian, and I guess they didn't care what they said about around the other women.
Well,
I felt bad because
they didn't describe themselves as Christian women.
Yeah. But I just felt bad for them. I really did, because they would call my name.
But there's a difference. And think about what we just said in the earlier verses. The world loves its own.
Right.
So they didn't have to make an excuse for their own.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted you to excuse them,
yeah,
because they knew that you were not of that group.
Right.
So they said, we want you to excuse all of us, really.
Yeah.
You know. And so that's why your name was called. So let's move on, because it's getting ready to get good here. 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Right?
Right.
And so who does the world really want to hate? They really want to hate God, but they
right.
can't see him.
Right.
Yeah.
But if they can see that light that he has in you, then that's what it is. They don't know him, and so they don't like you either. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin.
No excuse.
No excuse. No excuse. Guy riding down the road in his car. He's doing 75 miles an hour. He come past the sign. The sign said the speed limit here is 50 miles an hour. He get on down the road. The policeman pull him over. He said, you know how fast you was going? He said, yeah, I was going 75. He said, I didn't know you couldn't go 75. He said, yes, you did. Because if you on this road, there was a sign down there that said 50. Was not Christ the sign? Right?
Right.
I love this. In the fullness of time, he sent his son. Now they had the law. Why did the law come? The law came as a schoolmaster and a mirror to show them that all of that they were doing, all that ceremonial stuff, all of the things that they thought, the washing of the hands, the having the sacrifice, the having the lamb and all of that, really wasn't doing the job, right?
Right.
So then he said, now I'm going to send my son to show you not only did all of that stuff you were talking about didn't work, your heart wasn't right. Do we realize that we expose people's heart when we bring the light of Christ around? Right? Okay, y'all looking at me. Out of the abundance of the heart, what?
The mouth
speak. So if you got a lot of cursing coming out your mouth, if you got a lot of ill stuff coming out of your mouth, what's in your heart? Am I right? He said, how is bad water going to come out of a good fountain? Do we ever think about that?
Mm-hmm.
The water is below the fountain. What you see is just the spigot, mm-hmm, where it comes out, right?
Right?
So if you got bad water in the pipeline, and you go up here and you turn on the faucet, you see some clear water. Then after a while, some dirty water come out. Guess what? That's been in the line.
Right.
It's coming from the foundation. So I just want us to understand, when we looking at these people and they spewing out all of this stuff, it's because their heart is what? Dark. They can't help it. That's why Christ said, I want to take out that stony heart and give you one of flesh. Give you one that's been regenerated. See, a lot of this stuff is tying together. Now, we have all of these scriptures. If you're a good Christian and been studying a long time and been through Sunday school and all, a lot of these things, when you look at it, you can get a better understanding today. It says, so now they have no cloak for their sin. Just like when the people said, we're going to stop telling the jokes because Alfred gets offended. No, it's just not just Alfred gets offended. You don't need to be saying that anyway.
Right.
But it's just that some light is out there. So now to shine on the fact that's what you've been doing, saying stuff that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right. But now they have no cloak for their sin. 23. He that hateth my father also. He that hateth me hateth my father also. You know why I love that, right? Because Jesus is the demonstration of the Father. He's the representative. He says, after you seen me, then you seen the Father. Remember, it says, show us the Father. He said, well, how long have I been around that you don't recognize who this is? So isn't that right? So if they hate of Jesus, then they also hate the Father, because he is what? The demonstration of the Father. He shows the Father's love, compassion, tenderness, mercy, grace, truth. Everything we ever wanted to know about our Father God, we can just look at his Son Jesus. All right?
Right.
All right, 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other men did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father.
Mm-hmm.
That's something.
Mm-hmm.
He said, not only did I come and bring them truth, but I demonstrated to them that I was the representative of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what Nicodemus said? Right. Nicodemus sneaked in there by night and said, Rabbi, we know. Listen, he said, we. He didn't say, I know. He said, we know that you a man come from God, because nobody can do these things that you do except he be sent. Right?
Right.
Isn't that, he's saying, hey, so that just go to show you. He said, I came and demonstrated who I was, and they still hated me. That darkness was that strong. And listen, is that darkness not still strong today?
Okay.
It's strong today.
You can cut it with a knife.
I tell you what.
You can.
But since this podcast is here, I can just tell you right now, you can have certain demonstrations out in the street that are worldly, and you can come out and look at them, and they'll look at you and know you're not with them.
Right.
And I didn't call out which demonstration, but if you just think of some, they have certain days where certain people who arrayed themselves at night break out during the day and try to act up. And, okay, y'all know what I'm talking about. All right. So, he says, I've demonstrated even through works, I've demonstrated through my word, and they after they saw it and heard it, they still hated me and my father. 25. This is good right here. 25. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in whose law?
In their law.
In their law. They hated me without a cause. They had a cause, but it wasn't valid cause. Right? Because he showed them the error of their ways, they hated him. You remember, as we walked through this book of John, how when he was at the pool and he healed the man, and what did they say? Why are you doing this stuff when you know you're not supposed to be doing this stuff? He said, who are you to tell me when not to heal somebody? They said, but it's the Sabbath. Right?
Right.
Every time he did something, they said, why are you just always doing something?
Breaking the law.
Look, not going along with the program.
That's what it is.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're not going along with their program.
Right?
Instead of how about let's all go along with God's program? Is this not the same God you say you serving? And that's what Jesus was. He says, now I'm just showing how the compassion and the mercy of God to heal people anytime they need it. Mm-hmm. They said, no, only during certain times. He said, well, that's not God's way.
Right?
Right.
Right. But yet they would do circumcision if it was on the Sabbath day, if it was the eighth day.
So I'm just saying here they pick and choose and do. And since I'm just talking here, and I'll just take one little small liberty here. I love it when he asked him, he said, now, if your ox was to fall in the ditch on Sabbath day, are you going to go on and do what you need to do and come back and get him later? Or are you going to get him out of the ditch?
You're going to get him right there.
That was no more comment.
Okay.
Right?
Right?
Because they understood that ox ain't going to be there by the time you come back. Because anybody walked by there and saw an ox in the ditch, that's food, that's work. I'm getting ready to get that. Don't nobody care about him? He free? What? I'm getting that. And they knew that. Right? So, I'm just saying. 26. But when the Comforter is come,
thank you, Lord,
whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, this is something here. This whole book of John, as I have said before, and I continue to say, is my favorite book, because when you come to understand that the Father wants us to know his love, his compassion, and who he really is, we have an example that we can assimilate with.
Right.
and that we can imitate from an earthly standpoint. Because we know that God the Father is a spirit, and he that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. But how do we really emulate or demonstrate that he has in reference to how we look at things? And we can through Christ. And we can through Christ. And so when people say, well, I don't know what I ought to do. Y'all tell me I ought to do this and I ought to do that. Well, we got an example of what you should do. We have an example of what you should say. We should have an example of how you should love and have compassion, right?
Right.
Now, when we talk about this comforter, anybody want to talk about this comforter?
I have a comment on that. I have a comment because I find that a lot of Christians don't take time enough to know the Spirit of Christ and the Comforter. They don't know where to go to when times get hard, and you know how to go to him and meditate and pray and ask for God to pour out his Spirit on their hearts, you know, whereby they really can become one. They don't understand that, or the oneness of Christ. And you find yourself ministering to people out here who really just don't know the word. You know, you got to just really, like we're doing, you got to go through that word with them. Even though they've been sitting in church all their lives, they don't know the word. And they don't know what thus saith the Lord. So they can't identify with what you're saying. They have a sense of what they've been told, but they really don't know the word. So when you don't know his will, you don't know his way, you cannot draw upon the well that you need to in order to make it.
Portia? I thought you was going to dive right in there. I saw you had that look. Come on.
That comfort is comforting me right now. I appreciate all the different comforts that he gives me throughout this. It seems like as we end this year of kingdom advancement, God has given us so many opportunities to grow in one of those special fruit of the Spirit called patience.
Right.
And we still have to be light as we go through these various tests.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we might get a little brokenhearted, Comforter comes immediately to help us remember that we are to be joyful-minded and not be pouting and sad and let those things cause us to,
waver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's comforting right now.
Right now. So we got one here that the Comforter is working with. That spirit of truth.
What if we didn't have him to comfort us throughout the day? Right. Everybody in here has challenges all day long. They come in there, right?
Yeah.
You know it's him.
Right. Being a disciple is not an easy task, but it's a determined task. You have to determine in your heart and your being that you are going to be a disciple, because there are going to be challenges that make you think about it. But if your anchor holds and you have this comforter and this spirit of truth that's in you, then at each time of tribulations, trials, and tests, then you have to have something that causes you to be strong. Now, I'll give y'all worldly examples of this, because just as Jesus gave parables, he gives me these little nuggets. And when I'm talking to different people, especially men who like athletics, football, basketball, and they're talking about different sports, I always take them back to the training that one has in order to be a professional, okay? So if you say you want to be a professional, you have to change your entire lifestyle in order to do that. Am I right?
Right.
You got to now stop playing around and doing stuff that you want to do, but you have to do the things necessary to become a professional, which means Some places you used to go, you're not going to have time to go there anymore because you got to go to the gym. You got to go to the workout area. You got to study what? The strategies and the playbook. You got to have your mind focus on the things that pertain to that, right? Mm-hmm. So when you go out there and you're playing your sport, let's just say I just pick basketball, and you go up for a layup and a guy knocks you down and you hit your knee, and boy, you got pain going on, and they pull you to the sideline, and you've been doing all that you can do for the game. You know, you got to have some resolve to say, I'm going to work on this knee, and I'm going to get back in the game. You can't be a quitter, right?
Right.
And so here we are in the game of life. We've been called out of the world into God's scheme of things. So we got a new playbook.
Amen.
Right? We don't play like the world play. We got a new playbook. Huh? Because in the game of life, God got some strategies versus your opponent has strategies.
Oh, yeah.
Now we do know who our opponent is, right?
Oh yeah.
I'm saying,
oh,
so we know who our opponent is. And he got tricks.
Oh yeah,
he got tricks. But guess what? We got a playbook that overcomes anything that he can bring. Mm-hmm. You know, our coach tells us that we got power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Well, y'all ain't gonna help me today.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, and if you want to, that's a favorite for me, because everybody can understand that if you're into sports.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then another one of my favorite ones is that bodybuilder. I said, now, of course, I'm talking to men. I'm not talking to you ladies, because there are ladies here. But if a man, young man, old man, decide that he want to be a bodybuilder, he's going to have to change his whole lifestyle and adopt a new one and a new way of doing things if he want to get his body right to be a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. And it's going to hurt. That's where we get that expression, no pain, no gain. Look at y'all Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, so y'all got it now, right? Y'all want to be bodybuilders in God, right?
Oh, yes.
You want to take the Spirit of God and His truths and work them out. And okay. All right. So now we got an understanding of now that we've been called, now that we've been chosen, what is it that we should understand? One, that we got to come out from among them.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we got to understand this new playbook that we got,
mm-hmm.
right? We got to understand the truth that's in it that causes us to make the plays that cause us to get a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And what's our touchdown? Do y'all know what our touchdown is? That we bring forth much fruit. Huh? That we allow God to take us over the goal line and get the victory. Mm-hmm. Now, do y'all know what happens when we're heading toward that goal line? There are some people trying to tackle us. There's hecklers on the sideline. There are people throwing stuff in our way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we are trying to stop us. But we have to allow the Spirit of God, that Spirit of truth, to take us over the goal line. Boy, I'm looking at a team that's going to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. We going to the Super Bowl.
We going to the Super Bowl. Huh?
And we have to remember that he
that's
that
right.
is in us
is greater than he that is in the world.
Yes.
Stand on that.
So look, it don't matter whether three or four of them got you down. You just right?
Right?
Because we got a comforter that said, come up out of it.
That's right.
Right? We got power to do that. And sometimes, just like y'all said, and we got somebody that said that the comforter working with them right now, they're getting ready to come out of it. And that, look, since I'm almost close to the end, I've been saying this for the past 2 months. Valley experiences aren't bad. Just don't stay there.
Right.
You got to come through the valley to get to the next mountaintop.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
So we think we just going to hop from one mountaintop. But now y'all, look, y'all thinking worldly. When you think you're going to hop from one mountaintop to the next mountaintop, that's worldly thinking. Worldly thinking is, I don't have to go through all of that. I'm empowered.
Yes.
You know, I hear people tell me all the time, oh, I'm blessed this and I'm blessed that. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, boy, you ain't had trouble yet. You know, they doing all of this. You know, your life should show that you are blessed. You know, a lot of times you do all this bragging, the enemy going to find out whether you really know what you're talking about or not. So, you know, a lot of the time you can be out there running your mouth and get in some big trouble. You know, you're going to have to defend that. You're going to have to defend that.
I have a comment on that, you know, what I went through when I first came. Mm-hmm. It's not that I have stopped going through it. I still go through it, but he said you should come before the throne with a boldness. Now I go to work with a boldness, you know, because I'm shining the light of Christ. And I go with a boldness, sit there, get up, go on that airplane. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the flight attendants are nasty, mean. Sometimes the passengers are, but I roll with them both. Because I come there because God placed me there, and I'm supposed to be there. So I come with a boldness. But God also placed me there to witness to the young people going through the same thing that are coming up, that are there and going through it. And then I witness to them and tell them it's not about the people, it's about your relationship with Christ. And I tell them the closer you get to them, to Christ, that's not going to bother you. You can walk through it. Because one girl asked me, how do you do that? I see you. You know, we saw you the other night, and through all that crisis, you know, everything was out of order. You just kept your peace. And I told her, that's when I come in, and that's your time to witness. Mm-hmm. So, I'm still there, and nothing has really changed, but I've changed. I've grown.
I would think that her light is a little brighter now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
When she first came in, she had a light, but it wasn't as bright. Now she got, now it's got a little bit more intensity to it.
It was dim.
She didn't turn that wick up. It's turned up wick.
That's it.
It's turned up.
It got a spotlight now. But now that.
Okay.
Now I want us to understand how that really works. That's called maturity.
Yes.
Right. And we should all not be and stay as babes in Christ, right. but we that's should right. desire the more sincere milk of the word and to grow thereby. You know, when people see us and they know we've been in church for X amount of time, don't you think that they have an expectation that you should have reached a certain
that's
level?
Right. That's right.
Huh?
That's true. That's right. And that's true.
And we should have reached a certain level. That should be certain things that people say. We done heard that said so much. We have an automatic response.
That's right.
That's why I was just saying. I got one when they going through this thing about, man, this player this player that. And you know, and I said, well, what about you? You know, we know this man hurt. You know, y'all talking about, you know, they ought to cut his pay or cancel his contract and doing all that. I said, what about you? I said, y'all don't know what all that man done went through. And then they all stopped. Oh, there you go. Well, you're right. I said, can we get some understanding up in here? And slowly, you know, people get an understanding of it. But sometimes, you know, you just have to bring it to their attention. So as we are growing and maturing in the things of God, and we get to understand that everybody not going to like us,
yes.
And why they not gonna like us, you know, and why we can't seek the love of the world. You can't seek it. He says seek things that are above. You know, seek things that's gonna have a reward. Get this playbook, get this Bible, get the strategy that God has laid out for you so that you can win. And then win, and then hear that, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, so now I'm going to make you ruler over many. Is that our desire? What a time for John 15. And so we're going to move in 16 next Tuesday, the Lord willing. And what an exciting time in this book of John. I hope everybody that's listening to this podcast having a good time. And I would just ask, as we get toward the end of the year, that you all that are listening to this podcast, would you please, at some point, call this church or see me, Minister Alfred, or Portia. So 770-482-2250. That's the number. That's one number. Call it. Let us know you're listening to the podcast. Even if you say I'm just calling to let you know I'm listening to the podcast, I enjoy it. I look forward to every Tuesday. So I can't be there with you guys, but I'm with you in the spirit. I'm growing. I'm not growing. Say something. Yeah, you got a question, you got a comment, call it. All right? We thank you for this time. Father, we just thank you for your word that's come forth. Lord, let it just fall on good ground and germinate and grow and bring forth much fruit. We're here to be servants, friends, disciples, Lord, for we want to bring forth that fruit that you desire for us to. We carefully give you alone all the praise, honor, and the glory. And camp your angels round about us to protect us to our next destination, those that are here, and protect those that are listening. We all call it done by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.